Can metrics of success change depending on situation? We talk a lot on this show, Salzman Watkins, about metrics of success, because I think that everybody wonders those things. If you're a teacher, your students should probably test well. If you are a garbage man, right? The efficiency in which you get the garbage picked up, how long do you take? If you drop off packages for Amazon, if you make burgers, anything you do, there are metrics of success. For the Kings, we all want the metrics of success to be linear, right? And to progress and to move forward. Hey, you lost in the first round last season.
Yep.
Get to the second round this season. That is moving forward. That is progressing. That is a metric of success. But Chris, in a Western Conference that is so loaded, I've never seen anything like it. I'm willing to sit here and tell you today that I would say that if you lose in the first round, it's okay, because either way, even if you lost in the second round, you have to upgrade in the summer anyway. So, yeah. So it doesn't really make a difference to me whether you lose in the first or second round. Monty McNair is going to be looking to do the same things moving forward.
Yeah,
you're not running this group back. So first round or second round doesn't really make a difference to me.
Yeah, 100%. I think we talked about that a bit last week, but you know, the first and the second round are you know, yeah, it is tangibly better to be in the second round than the first round, but at the end of the day, you still didn't really have a chance to seriously contend. Like, you would not be considered a contender for making the second round of the playoffs. You're obviously a step closer, but like you said, Monty's going to have to make moves, and probably the same moves regardless of first or second round exit. So, you know, it's of course better. I'm not saying, you know, the Kings making the second round is actually not something to be excited about, but it's just, you know, like the point of this segment is essentially is you can take smaller victories along the way that might mean more to your success in the future than just going to the second round. Like, for example, I mean, we've talked a lot about Keegan Murray, but Keegan Murray, like you were presenting to Frankie there, him figuring out how to balance more of this being really good on defense, I won't say elite yet, but being really good on defense and still averaging 16 points and, you know, hitting three threes in a game every single night. Can he figure that out? Well, regardless of if the Kings make the second round or not, if Keegan does that, that's a really good sign for next year.
Yeah.
And there's a couple other things that, you know, I'm sure we could throw out as well that are also signs of progression. And I mean, you know, De'Aaron Fox for sure. I think Kevin Huerter, kind of the same thing as Keegan, just finding a level of consistency with those guys.
If De'Aaron Fox finishes the way he is shooting right now, do you even still – do you believe it, or would you have to see it going into next season as far as the threes? Because you've seen – would it make you feel like, hey, great, De'Aaron is a shooter now, or would you still say, oh, man, this has been awesome, but I still need to see. Right now he's at 37%.
Right.
So would you say, let's say he finishes, it has dropped, right? So his career, he's 33. So let's say the season ends today. Would you say, I feel like I can put that in the category of De'Aaron being a better shooter, or is shooting a bit different to where you'd have to see him do it next season too?
Yeah, I'd probably have to see him do it next year, and it wouldn't have to be at 37% again, but just kind of still showing, okay, I'm no longer 33. I might be – now I know I had 37 last year or this season, but if he has 35 next year, I still think that's progress. I think that's saying he was a 33% shooter. Now these past two seasons he's been around 36%.
Right.
And it's kind of the same as free throw shooting. Like, if you look at De'Aaron's free throw shooting numbers, he was rookie season 72, second season 72, then 70, and then he started getting better. He was 71, 75. Last year he was 78, and that's why the dip this year back down to 70 is so disappointing. You would like to say De'Aaron has improved as a shooter, but I think you would have to still see it next year. But there still are some things that he can do the remainder of this year that can tell us he's definitely better as a shooter than he was previously. And I think we've seen enough to still feel that way, but I think the line is going to be, we've seen De'Aaron be a 40% shooter for a stretch of time. We've also now seen De'Aaron probably be more so towards that 33%. Mm-hmm. Where is he on that scale? Because that is a very, very large difference from being 33% to even just being 37, 38.
Yeah, I think that he can whatever he finishes at is fine. For me, I'm more interested in how he shoots when it matters. If he goes ice, ice, baby, and he's just bricking it up in the playoffs, then I would say, yeah, I mean, regular season is one thing,
sure.
But
yeah, when it matters, right?
When it matters, you know, he wasn't able to get it done. Conversely, if he's shooting the lights out in the playoffs, I would be more inclined to say, yeah, I think this is legit. Because the lights will never be brighter than the playoffs. Right. So even if they lose the series, but De'Aaron shot the way that we've seen him shoot throughout the duration of the season in the playoffs, I would go into that season and I would put that in the category of De'Aaron is an improved shooter because mm-hmm. he did it in the regular season, yeah. He did it in the playoffs. If he shoots 38, 40% and then reverts back to who he has been in the past in the playoffs, then to me, we're still trying to figure it out.
Right, yeah. No, absolutely. And just for reference, he did shoot 33% last year in the playoffs as well. See? And that was after in the regular season he shot 32%. So that was about right. But
that's a little better.
Yeah, a little bit better. But at the same time, like, you know, it still wasn't great. And you could also say De'Aaron was probably taking a bit more threes because Kevin, Keegan, HB, nobody else was making threes in the playoffs. And De'Aaron was really their best shooter in that playoff series. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that'll definitely be interesting. And, you know, Sabonis, too. Like, I think a lot of Sabonis's work that still needs to be done, I think we've seen enough regular season success to know what this guy is. He's incredible. Every single night he's going to give you 100% effort. The question with Sabonis, unfortunately, is still the playoffs. Like, he's the one who I think really has the most to gain by having a good playoff series.
But it's not even that.
Not even, any, like, just perception-wise.
Right. Yes,
really.
It's not even that there's, because that was going to be next on my list.
Yeah.
Sabonis, what could he improve at, yeah. right? I mean, we know he shoots the three ball at about 40%, but he's only taking one
a game,
maybe two a game. Where can he improve? He kind of is what he is.
Yeah.
He is the product that he's going to be. It's just, do we actually believe that his game does not translate to the playoffs, whatever that means? Or do we simply believe that he ran into a situation with Kevon Looney and the Warriors, and it was just a rough stretch? And I'm more inclined to believe the latter, but we do have to see it. Because what is the book, right? If it's a matter of, or Clayton Kershaw or whoever, Peyton Manning for a long, you know, bit of his career.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, this doesn't translate to the playoffs. What would be the book on Sabonis that is what you do to him and why it doesn't work in the playoffs?
The rebounding thing was, I don't think that's part of the book. Like, I think that was just kind of an anomaly, and Kevon Looney is a crazy rebounder. So I wouldn't think that that's something that other teams can try and take. I would say the thing that really threw Sabonis off the most in that playoff series was the drop coverage of, really, when Sabonis is standing at the free throw line or above the free throw line, they just backed up and they said, go ahead and shoot that mid-range jumper. We're going to take away all of the cutters. And they did a good job of protecting the dribble handoffs as well. That's the game, is you're just trying to stop everything Sabonis creates. Because if you look at Sabonis' playoff numbers last year, which I don't think a lot of the national media did, the numbers are fine. Like, he shot, I think he shot over 50% from the field. Mm-hmm. He still was I think he had 17 or 18 points per game, still had his rebounding averages. It was the assists that really dropped. I think he went from 8 to 5 assists per game, which is pretty significant when you consider how much Sabonis creates for others. I think that's really, if you could say, the book for Sabonis. It's trying to take away not what he does mainly, but more so what he does for others and then how that then impacts his game. Because if you're taking away what he's creating for Kevin Huerter, for HB, for Keegan, Well, then that forces Sabonis to be more aggressive looking for his. He's got to say, oh, man, I couldn't do the handoff. Oh, man, I can't pass it to the cutter. Well, Kevon Looney's playing like 3 feet away from me.
Right.
It's kind of a bad look if I just stare at the rim and, mm-hmm. and don't take the shot, or if I don't try and go into him. So it's really just making him think. It's taking the reaction offense and turning it into, oh, my gosh, option one gone, option two gone. Let the mind start working, and at that point, that's really where you win. But how many teams can really replicate that? I mean, they can replicate the drop coverage, but mm-hmm. how well Looney played in the drop coverage, I don't think that's a guarantee that everybody can do that.
And there's still going to be options, too. It still comes down to so many things that have to go right. You have the drop coverage, and then you also have, yeah, and then people on the perimeter, the players on the perimeter, can't hit shots. Because if they are hitting shots, then the whole thing breaks down. And because you, yes, but that's not what happened with the Kings last season. Because
it's been inconsistent all year long.
Yeah, Keegan got cold, and Kevin hurt. You could not find anybody that was able to make a shot. And so those are the big ones coming from De'Aaron and also from Sabonis. And obviously, you have expectations for Keegan and Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter, and ultimately where we think that'll fall and where the Kings will fall is where we are headed next when we get back. Chris and I give our official second half prediction. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on your kitchen project at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free design estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
You have about four teams within a game and a half of each other. No disrespect to the Lakers and the Warriors, but here we go. Suns and the Pelicans both at 22 losses for the six, or the five and six seeds. Then you have the Mavericks with seven games behind. And then you have the Kings, 7.5 games behind. Then you have the Lakers, 9.5 games behind, and the Warriors, 11 games behind, rounding out that 5 and 6 in the play-in. Chris, ultimately, you know, those top four teams, the Kings are a game and a half back behind the Suns and Pelicans, but you're pretty much all at the same point,
yeah,
right? So let's just get into it. How do you see? And we had Frankie on record say that they get to the sixth seed. Okay.
Yeah.
That means somebody falls off, whether that's the Pelicans or, mm-hmm. or the Mavericks, and the Kings are able to climb up to that sixth seed. They have 17 games at home. They could go 17-11 to get those 48 wins. Where do you see these Kings officially? This is on record now.
I know.
Where do you see them them finishing.
I guess I'm going to be a pessimist here. I feel like the schedule is really tough, and I will happily be surprised by it, but I just think it's going to be too tough, not necessarily to miss the playoffs entirely, but I just think they're probably going to finish in that 7 or 8 spot, just because I think you said it earlier, it's really kind of 6 teams fighting for 2 spots, and I just think the odds that the Kings play their best basketball down this stretch, even though we saw them do it last year, it felt like not like an anomaly, but it's just going to be tough to replicate. Like we've said it tons of times, but they won their first 5 games out of the stretch. Won, I think Whitey said, 11 of their first 13 out of the break. And so if you're saying that you got to kind of replicate that kind of model, I just think that that's a bit of a stretch for a team that's got, we've talked about the teams they have to play. I mean, they have the Clippers, Miami, Nuggets, T-Wolves, they got the Lakers, they've got the Bucks, they've got the Knicks, and that's all just before mid-March. Like, I think it's going to be really tough for them to not play well. I think 48 wins is about, like, that should be a huge victory. That's a really big achievement, I think, for this team. If they go, 17 and 11, it would be down the stretch to get 48. Like, that sounds good to me, and I feel like just because everybody else is doing incredibly, like, that shouldn't knock that the Kings still played pretty well. It just might not be good enough. And I don't think that's bad. Like, again, like,
so
I
where
think,
do you have them?
I'd like a 7 or 8 is where I would put them. I think they're going to get a home play in. And I don't have faith in them in the play in, but I mean, you know, being the 7 or 8 seed, at least you're going to get 2 shots at it. And I would like to think that they would probably sneak in that fashion. But even then, it's sketchy if you're going to say 1 game elimination. And even though it's 2 games, it's still going to be probably at least one of those games is going to be against either the Warriors or the Lakers. So there's going to be a lot of emotions and, you know, a lot of probable favoritism heading into those games.
Yeah, well, you're not wrong there. Yeah, I don't know if the Suns hang on to the 5 seed, but I just think you're asking a lot for the Kings to take care of business and for both the Pelicans and the Mavericks to fall off.
Yep. And the Suns.
Or the Suns, right? I don't think all 3 of them will. I think the Suns will probably hold on to either 5 or 6. So I can knock out the Pelicans and the Mavs if I wanted to. I just don't see all 3 of those things happening or 4 of those things happening. And I would say more specifically, I see the Kings getting very, very close, but finishing in the 7th seed, specifically the 7th seed.
Yeah, and we can't forget here, though, we did check last week, the Suns do have the toughest strength of schedule remaining. Mm-hmm. The Kings, I believe, were number 5 or 4 or 5 on that list. So that's, again, where I just feel like it's a real uphill battle. The Kings actually have moved down to 8th now. So the Kings have the 8th toughest remaining schedule, because I think we checked like right before the deadline or right before the All-Star break happened. So I think there was like 2 games of the Pistons and they had a couple games. Phoenix and Denver were the last 2 games. Mm-hmm. And so those 2 high win percentages then knocked off. So
that's big.
Phoenix has a remaining strength of schedule of 564, which is head and shoulders the best record remaining for a team. The San Antonio is number 2 at 535. So Phoenix really has a tough go of it. The Clippers have the 7th hardest remaining strength of schedule. The Kings are 8th at a 51% win percentage for the rest of their team. So it's just not going to be easy. And there's some teams above them. Pelicans are sitting at 12, and who is the other team? Dallas is sitting at 21. So Dallas's remaining strength of schedule is actually below 500. So I mean, they just have a lot easier path, and you know, they do have 2 superstars in Kyrie and Luka. So I could see Dallas holding on to 6th seed. I think Phoenix is with the talent they have of Book, KD, and if Beal can stay healthy for this stretch. I know they have a tough schedule, but I think that they're capable of holding their own against those kind of opponents. So those, I feel like Phoenix and Dallas would probably be my picks for the 5 and 6.
For the 5 and 6. Yeah. I think.
Oh my gosh, I just realized that would put the Kings and Pelicans in that one game playoff.
No, Alan, we can't have that.
We have to avoid that.
The Pelicans will fall off. The Pelicans will fall off.
We have to avoid that at all.
No, the Pelicans will fall off. You know what? Or maybe they'll be due. Who knows? Yeah, I think the main thing for the Mavericks, as far as it pertains to the Kings, is that the Mavericks, it feels like they have not been whole. The Kings have been pretty whole
right
all season. That's why we don't have that much confidence in this next stretch coming up here. Because the Mavericks, I feel like Kyrie has missed a ton of games.
He's missed a handful, yeah.
And not just Kyrie. I feel like Kyrie has missed games. Luka's just been playing with some ragtag people and ragtag players. So that's why I feel like the Mavericks can say, hey, we're getting healthy now, moving into this last part of the season to make a stretch. Pelicans, you're always trying to get healthy if you're the Pelicans.
Yeah.
And honestly, pretty similar with the Suns. The Kings, out of all the teams, I guess besides the Lakers, out of all the teams from 5 to 10, it feels like the Kings and the Lakers have been the healthiest. That's
yes,
a problem.
Yeah, yeah, right.
They've been healthier than the Suns. They've been healthier than the Pelicans. They've been healthier than the Mavericks. They've been healthier than the Warriors. And some of the Warriors have been self-inflicted.
Right.
But I think the Kings and the Lakers have the least to hang on to in terms of, hey, we haven't used this yet. We haven't been healthy yet. Mm-hmm. You have.
And that's, I think, I didn't really piece it together, but I do think that's a big reason why I just don't have great feel. Like, I don't feel overly confident about this team. I still think they can get it done, but I can't just come. I would love to come on here and you know, bang the Kings drum and be a homer and say, oh no, we did this last. But it's the fact that, yeah, they've had all of their guys. They haven't had excuses. They really haven't had many excuses for why they haven't played well this year. And for them to still be in the 8th seed, you know, yeah, maybe it's hope. Like Frankie said, you could say they're due, that they've been so inconsistent all year, and that's been a bit uncharacteristic from the team we saw last year, that, you know, it just makes sense that at some point it's all going to click. But at the same time, we've just seen this collection of guys play for 50-plus games, and there's been no consistency at all. And so when you have game one out of the break, we have questions on Domantas Sabonis' availability. It just makes me think, is this the start of what this is going to be like? Because we haven't had to deal with this kind of in and out adversity. Is this going to be the trend for the second
half?
What I'm saying,
what we're essentially saying is that the Kings should be in a better position than they're in.
Absolutely.
Based on the type of luck, if you want to use that word, that they've had this season. When we get back, we have some text that we want to read. But Chris, you got to go official here, 7 or 8.
7.
There you go.
7.
Chris has 7. He copied me. We both have 7, and we hope we're wrong. We hope we're wrong, and we hope the Kings can get out of the play-in and get to that 6th seed or maybe even better.
Yeah.
All right? When we get back, continuing the conversation, we're also going to have a conversation about the city of Sacramento and the All-Star game. Do you care that it might not meet the requirements? How do you want to see the city grow as it continues to move forward and become just a great staple here as the state capital? Sals and Watkins.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on your kitchen project at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free design estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sacktown Sports.
Let's go, Sacramento.
If they ask me and nobody else cares to do it, bleep it. I'll do it again. Jaylen Brown on competing in the 2025 dunk contest.
Did you see the video of him practicing that dunk that he tried? So I guess he nailed it in practice. It was a lot cooler.
Mm-hmm.
People are saying Jason Tatum sold the throw, essentially.
Okay.
And that's really what ended up doing him dirty. And also, I mean, I think you mentioned it. Why did he have Kai Cenat sit?
Right.
I'm pretty sure he would have been the same height if he was. Just the entire thing was terrible. Jaylen, you're not being asked back. It's not happening.
If everyone says no again.
I'd rather have Jacob Toppin. I would rather have Toppin versus Toppin.
What a wet blanket this guy is.
Yeah. If no one wants to do it, at least Jaylen Brown is a name. Come on. Give us a break.
You
want to
see that again?
Not particularly, but, you know, I mean, I like a redemption story. And if Jaylen comes out without the left hand and you know, the Michael Jackson
glove.
None of that this time. Maybe something. But we've been teasing this story for a while now. We want to get into it. This is from Clutch Points, and this is a story on how Wingstop made a lot of money. So this is from Clutch Points. The Detroit Pistons accidentally made Wingstop millions of dollars. Every fan in Detroit gets 5 free Wingstop wings when the Pistons win. Then the Pistons lost an NBA record 28 straight games, and the promotion went viral. On December 30th, the Pistons got their first win in 2 months, and fans flooded Wingstop. The result? Wingstop made $19 million in net income that quarter, a massive 46% jump from the previous quarter, and it didn't end there. In late January, Giannis went viral for trying to scan a QR code mid-game. This is why I can't stand this guy.
It was wild.
To get free Wingstop wings. Then a couple weeks later, he posted a video of himself boarding a plane to All-Star Weekend with a huge bag of Wingstop's lemon pepper wings. The result, Wingstop's stock reached an 80% increase compared to 6 months ago. Of course, it's not all because of the NBA, but the free marketing didn't hurt. The Pistons may be the ultimate losers this season, but they created ultimate winners. Wingstop.
Money.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wait, what was the Giannis thing? Was he playing the Pistons?
I can't remember if he's in or not, like if he's in street clothes or if he was in like a warm-up, but it was definitely the game was over from Giannis, Giannis's perspective, but he literally has a phone and you can see him like, kind of like, you know, bend down so he can see the screen, and he's literally trying to scan a QR code off the bench in the middle of a game, which is it's just wild. It's insane. So shout out Wingstop, I guess, is I guess the moral.
Yeah, get in where
that's
you fit
crazy.
In.
Crazy.
This is
Pistons have only won 8 games. Who even?
Well, they beat the Kings.
Yeah. Shout out Crumble Cookies, of course, and I think
Chick-fil-A
does
they
get
it.
A sandwich.
And Mountain Mike's.
I was never good at redeeming those things. Every time
you download the
app.
You
get excited, but like, yeah, it just ends up being a process.
Yeah, you can't put them on layaway. They give you, what is it? About 5 to 7 days, maybe 10.
I think it is, yeah.
Between 5 and 10 days to redeem
it. Like redeem it, right.
Yeah, because I did one for one of them.
Right.
And, I got 5 days, all right, or 10 days, okay, and I just didn't do it.
I remember back in the day at Arco, they used to, like, pass out the 2 free Jack-in-the-Box tacos, like, at the door. Mm-hmm. And I would just stack those things up, especially
you can't use them all at one time.
No, but you could just, I mean, you know, you could go five straight days in a row.
Two for a dollar?
It was, something like that. And also, Who knows?
I don't think.
Jack in the Box meat is crazy.
Okay. It was a different time back then. It was a different time. Okay. But they were hidden, though.
Guys, like I also have that Yana sound here if we want to hear him with the QR code.
Yes.
Please. Well, speaking of wings. Oh, everybody gets wings. Free wings from Wingstop.
I think Kreger made that happen. Look at Giannis, he's scanning it.
He's capturing the moment.
That was in the game. He was not in street clothes.
So he, oh my God. So he has his jersey on and everything.
Yes.
So that means he probably like either he had someone go to the locker room to grab
his phone.
My man is also like a multi-millionaire.
I'm telling you, man. Like, what is that? This guy is going to, everyone is going to look at him and say, what could have been? He's getting Wingstop during the game. He thinks it's a joke.
I hope they won. I really hope they won. And
right, it must have been
lucky.
A different. This was not because at first I thought
blowout
it was the
win
Pistons
against the Pelicans.
Okay, so they won. Okay.
At first I thought it was the Pistons were beating the Bucks, and he decided, well, if I'm gonna catch an
I'm
L
here, I'm
let me catch this
now.
Lemon L's for lemon pepper. Let me at least just catch some lemon pepper wings too. Well, there you go. And we are going to hear from right here. The 5-3-0, 48 wins this year versus 48 wins last year means the Kings actually are better, right? Since it just seems that the West is better. I could agree with that.
Yeah, for sure.
I could agree with that. It hasn't looked like it.
Right. It's almost on a curve, right?
Yes.
It's like, yeah, 48 wins against tougher competition does kind of hold more weight than 48 wins last year when a lot of teams were injured. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely the right way of looking at it for sure.
There you go. From the 916, Kings versus Pels in a one-game playoff. Sounds like Cleveland versus New York in Major League. One day we'll figure out how to beat those guys from Lou Brown. Yeah.
Pelican play. Come on, Pelicans.
Yep. I just don't want to see them.
No
ever.
Interest. No.
But
absolutely
they, the,
not.
The Kings, they have the Pelicans one more time, right? Or are they done?
Yes. No, yeah, I think it is one more time.
Yeah, they have them one more time. And at that point, could I – does this make sense? Could I say that if there is a chance that the Kings could face here's a good question.
Okay.
All right. So they've now lost to the Pelicans three times.
I think it's I think
four
it's
times because of the
let me get that right
because of the in-season tournament.
I believe it's four. Yeah, and they have a fifth time coming up. I believe is correct.
There was the tournament game. There was the two at the beginning of the season.
Yes.
So it's at least 0-3.
Yeah. Yep. I see one, I see two, I see three, and I see four.
One, two, they've lost four times.
Yep. And they have a fifth time coming up. When is that?
April 11th.
April 11th.
So here's my question. Now that we know it's very possible that the Kings could see the Pelicans in the playoff, would you rather, this is if we go roulette here, right? Black's got to hit eventually. Would you rather
I think I know where you're going.
Kings beat the Pelicans, and now all of a sudden, okay, yeah, you got some confidence,
right,
going into a possible play-in game, or lose to the Pelicans
play
and
the numbers
odds,
game. Yeah.
Knowing that the play-in could happen, the odds of a team go, I don't even know if it's ever happened in basketball.
0-6 is crazy.
Before, because of, right, the play-in and the playoffs, this could be the first time the odds of a team going 0-6 against a team has to be so low.
It has to be.
I think I'm willing to sacrifice that win. Is that crazy?
I think if you were to ask math experts, they would probably tell you you're right, right? Like, I think the odds probably would say that. But then again, the Kings have, again, lost to the Bucks like 15 straight times. So I guess it's not a guarantee, but I think the logic is there for sure.
15 straight times, but not in the same, five in the same season.
Yeah, that's crazy. I would like to get a win against the Pelicans before we play them.
Yes.
But I hear what you're saying. I mean, you could almost say it's like, De'Aaron's free throw logic could apply there too, where it's like, hey, lost to the Pelicans five times in the regular season, but beat them with count, right?
That's what I'm saying. That's what
I'm
saying.
It's interesting. I'm not. I
just don't want to see them, but if you did.
I hear what you're saying. And I think the fact that it's not crazy is telling of where the Kings are in that matchup.
And Bob, they are 0-5. There has never been a team to go 0-6 against another team.
I would not bet on the Kings to not make history in that sense, though.
This is actually a good question, even including playoffs. Has a team ever gone 0-6 to where, well, I guess depending on if it's Western or Eastern Conference. So has a team ever gone winless against a team, including the playoffs?
I'm sure. It would definitely, I mean, yeah, it would have to involve a first round sweep, but
right.
I'm sure it's definitely happened before. It's just not, again, not six times in the before the playoffs even start, though. That's unheard of, but I'm sure that a team has lost every game, like more than five games in a season to a team before. It's just
without a win, though.
It's been in the playoff. Probably. I mean, because teams play, every team plays each other at least twice a year. Mm-hmm. So it would be those two matchups and then just sweeping them in a four-game playoff series. Like, that's not unheard of, I wouldn't think, at least.
But five losses in, because how many times, this is the first season in season, so how many times has a team, how many times has a team played another team five times in one season?
I don't know. The Kings actually
might make history.
That's happened. Yeah.
To go winless.
Yes, I don't want to.
Five games against the same team.
Yeah. I would guess that
how would that have happened
the
before?
Only time. Maybe beforehand.
Maybe when they had like four teams in the league.
Exactly. When there was like, 16 teams or something, but not in modern history. I mean, yeah, there would be no reason for a team to play somebody else a fifth time. Not that I can think of. Yeah, I can't think of a time in which there would have been a necessary like 83rd game or anything like that, like a one-game playoff or something. So, yeah, I mean, I think in the worst way possible, the Kings definitely could make history this year for sure. I'm going to try and look that up,
though. Yeah, I would say that as much as we're joking about, you know, playing the numbers, I do think that I would – obviously take the Kings beating the Pelicans simply because you just, that would be the last time you would have played them. You could say, okay, we got over the hump and we know that we can beat these guys. If you don't beat them, you literally can't say we know we can beat these guys because you haven't beat these guys. Right. So as much as you could play the numbers, it would be nice to just get that mental side of things taken care of and get a W against the big bad Pelicans that the Kings just cannot figure out. When we get back, we will discuss the All-Star game not coming to Sacramento due to their requirements, and how does that make you feel if you are in Sacramento, the surrounding areas, or just got love for the state capital. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started. From brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Apparently, there's been some issues all day. I don't know if they're still going on with AT&T customers.
Saw that.
Not having service or reception. I haven't had any issues, but I know some people have. I'm seeing some memes about it. So sorry for your luck if you haven't been able to use your phones today. Hopefully, you're getting a nice break from everything.
Is it like, have you tried any calls? Because you're probably connected to Wi-Fi, and with your iPhone, that would be okay. But if it's a service issue, that's
I think it was
more substantial.
Yeah, I'm seeing it. It came back about 3 hours ago. And yeah, I guess there was just some issue, and nobody had service for, or a lot of people didn't. I didn't have any problems.
I didn't either. Yeah.
Who knows?
I'm with Bay and Verizon.
On really?
Oh, Verizon. Verizon.
Yeah, you one of those Verizon
Yeah,
phones,
Verizon. Right?
Yeah, I've heard about you guys.
Hello,
service
I have Verizon.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yes, I can.
No, I cannot
got great
because
service.
I have you muted. Okay, we got another one. We have to actually add these to the list here. As I got Dante Green a couple days ago, ex-King, as far as my lookalikes. We have from the 916, Styles looks like Kevin Atwater from Chicago PD. Do not watch Chicago PD, so we checked it out over the break. Chris, Simone, your thoughts?
He has a beard.
He does have a beard.
That was beautiful, yeah.
It's a good beard, too, yeah.
What do you mean?
I just mean
I'm more of a scruff guy.
No, yeah.
I can grow a beard.
No, you definitely could.
Yeah,
you,
no one...
I'm sorry, this is kind of mad defensive. All I said was he had a good beard, and then all of a
because
you
now I'm gonna grow
beard.
One.
That's why you look like those folks, is what I'm saying.
That's right.
Is you've got a
now
great
I'm gonna
beard,
grow one.
They've got a great beard. You know, yeah. Well, then you're gonna get James Harden. Then it's over.
No, I don't want that. No, thank you.
That's not a compliment.
I did
right?
get. Al's got the Harden beard going. Yeah. Or it's just a beard that I grew. I know.
Yeah.
It's not even close to as long as Harden's.
No, not
that's
even
always
close.
Cracked me up as well. But thank
you,
916.
Yeah, like you could probably get a nice. Could you?
I'll show you.
Like, do
I'll
you have
you
any
videos?
Because you know how like LeBron kind of can't grow his.
No,
underneath?
I will show you a picture during the break from COVID.
Okay.
And it was aggressive.
You just let it go, huh?
I let it go like frozen. That's what had to happen at the time. And unfortunately, what's probably not going to happen at any time, I shouldn't say any time, maybe in the future, is an all-star weekend in Sacramento. Chris, you have the requirements and how Sacramento, unfortunately, is falling a little bit short.
Yeah, this is all from the Oklahoman, and you could obviously try and connect why the Oklahoman would be interested in these numbers as well, as Oklahoma City tries to bid for their own All-Star game as they are in the midst right now, I believe, of trying to get a new arena themselves. And we know here in Sacramento, that's kind of always the carrot dangled for these smaller markets is, hey, if you get a new arena built, well, there might be some assurances that you can be in contention to get an All-Star game and all the revenue that brings. But again, this is from the Oklahoman. These are the new requirements for cities to meet in order to host an All-Star weekend. Number one is 7,250 hotel rooms at a minimum of 3.5-star. I'm sorry, in a minimum of 3 5-star hotels. So they not only do you have to have a minimum amount of just general hotel space. Mm-hmm. There has to be a certain amount of 5-star hotels, I would assume, for league personnel, players, family, all those people to stay in. And I guess it has to be of a certain quality. And that, just from the Sacramento perspective, I believe the Sawyer classifies as that. I don't think the Hyatt on K Street does.
How?
I don't think it does. I'm not
100% These people bougie, man. The Hyatt.
It's good enough for me, that's for sure.
Well, 5-star. Yeah, I don't know.
I know Sacramento doesn't have a ton of luxury hotels. I know they're building they're trying to build a ton. Also in here is mentioned the convention center. The Sacramento just got a brand new convention center redone, the Safe Convention Center. I have not been in there yet, but just from the outside, it looks like a completely new building. But part of the NBA's requirements is a convention center of at least 650,000 square feet of exhibition space. And this is from, let's see here, shout out Alan Cal on Twitter says, the Sacramento Downtown Safe Credit Union Convention Center reopened in the summer of 21 after a stunning renovation. The new convention center offers 240,000 square feet of programmable space. So they are not even close in terms of convention center size to that requirement as well. And then the third is 75 nonstop domestic flights and at least 20 international flights. I would assume that would be ability to come in and out of the airport. Mm-hmm. I would think Sacramento could do that, but I honestly am not aware of what those numbers look like from the Sacramento perspective. But that's really, I mean, at minimum, it's two of three things that you just don't even remotely qualify for.
Yeah. Yeah, and the convention center thing, I'm trying to help me describe, Chris, where the NFL did there. I mean, how big? Because I'm just trying to put into perspective how big these convention centers are. If they're looking for 650,000 square feet, where we were,
let me look it up.
In Vegas, the Las Vegas.
It was the Mandalay Bay Convention Center.
The Mandalay Bay Convention Center, where they did the NFL experience. Chris and I actually felt uncomfortable.
It was huge.
And they packed that thing out.
It was huge. And there was people shoulder to shoulder in there.
Shoulder. And it was, and Chris and I only went to one half of it. We didn't even go to the other half.
To be fair, this is insane. So this
I just want to know.
This is incredible. The Mandalay Bay is the fifth largest convention center in the U.S. Again, the minimum requirement for the for the convention center,
what is it, a milli?
It was 650,000 is what the NBA wants. The Sacramento Convention Center is at 240,000. The Mandalay Bay
is it a million?
Convention Center is 2.1 million square feet.
Wow. That's crazy.
I don't even know how to conceptualize
that. So basically, half of the half that we walked is what the NBA wants.
Yeah, I mean.
Which seems small now.
It does seem small now, but I mean, that's ridiculous. Yeah. That's insane. And I wonder how many. It'd be interesting to see if anybody has compiled a list of just in general, even if it is 20 cities, like how many cities even qualify under this umbrella? Because I would imagine it's not many. I mean, Sacramento is small market, sure, but it's not.
Well, Indiana
it's
had
not
one.
Tight, I guess. But Indiana is also, they kind of are like a hub for that kind of thing. Like they've hosted the combine there for years. And I guess it's because it's kind of perfectly centered in the middle of the country to where it's not too bad for everybody, or it's equally bad for everybody.
To that point, is the issue no football team and no major NFL team,
right,
or no major college team either.
Right.
You have neither in Sacramento.
And just that infrastructure too, because you could probably make things work. Like I think about, when we were in Salt Lake City, they had, the All-Star game and the festivities were at the Jazz Arena, but they also had practices, and they had the G League game, and they had the HBCU game as well. They had, I believe, the convention centers would be used for the press conferences. It would kind of be a logistical nightmare with how Sacramento is currently constructed because, Sac State's gym really isn't up to snuff for something that the NBA is looking to use. So where would be the closest one? Like Davis, I guess. The pavilion's okay. But even that's not really, I think, the standard that the NBA is looking for. And so it's just, I don't know if even the infrastructure for basketball reasons is good enough to be here in Sacramento. But, I mean, it's definitely, it's a good dream to have, though. I think Sacramento, forget all of the logistics. Like, I think the city itself would be a really cool host city. I just imagine the entire festivities happening kind of in that Capitol Mall, DoCo area. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's just a really good location for it.
Yeah, it would be incredible. And one day Sacramento will get there. But I do think part of this is, just the right. It's either, it's based on the history, Indiana, or it's just a bigger city and they have a football team and things like that. So it's a combination of things.
Combination.
But I was going to...
Come on, combination.
I know Simone's looking...
Combination.
What a lunatic.
When we get back, we are going to discuss the baseball free agents that haven't signed and how the baseball market might lead to the light at the end of the tunnel for the NBA market as the Kings look to re-up some spots this offseason. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.